find your voice and express yourself authentically. We welcome you into the private lives of some of the best thought leaders, creative minds, and entrepreneurs around. Hear them share actionable ways that you can become more aware and purposeful in creating your best life. You can find the show notes on our website, monicacade.com, or follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Monica Cade. But for now, let's dive into the show.
My guest today is Diego Perez, who is a meditator, writer, and speaker. And he's most widely known on Instagram and various social media networks through his pen name, Young Pueblo. My conversation with Diego was truly uplifting. Sit back and relax as we chat about his journey through healing, writing, and being who he is today. Good morning, Diego. Thank you for joining me today.
Hey, Monica. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. Now, a lot of our listeners may not know you yet, and some of them might because they're probably big fans of yours on Instagram. But for those who don't know your backstory, I suppose, you've had an interesting upbringing and feel that it's also influenced your work today. So I thought maybe you could start by sharing a little bit on where you grew up and your experience with activism as a child as well.
Definitely. So I was originally born in Ecuador in South America, and I came to the United States when I was about 4 years old with my nuclear family. And, you know, that really sort of kind of gave a real sense to my life where, you know, we grew up pretty poor and I was always, you know, a little distant from my roots, but I always felt like I wanted to bridge the gap and just get closer to them. So I think that's one of the reasons why I'm actually right under the name Young Pueblo, because Pueblo is actually a word in Spanish that means the people, and it particularly refers to economically impoverished people. And what's one of the things that really sort of became more and more illuminated the more I went deeper into activism. I started doing a lot of organizing work back when I was about 15 years old. And, you know, I really saw that there's just so many things about our world that need to be changed. But as I grew up and as I started delving into the world of meditation, I started seeing that, you know, not only do we all as individuals have a lot of healing to do, but if you look at the collective of humanity, if you look at all of us as a whole, we're really very young. And I took the word young and combined it with the word pueblo to just be a constant reminder to me. So it doesn't actually describe me, it's a reminder to me of how we as a humanity have a lot of growing to do.
Where did you begin your meditation journey? Like, what inspired that?
Like for many people, probably like hitting rock bottom for sure. Mm-hmm. So outside of activism, outside of, you know, going to college and everything, I've sort of throughout all of my life, I had this depression, this sort of weight that I carried with me everywhere I went. Mm-hmm. And it was always pretty, you know, it would fluctuate at different times, but then particularly in college, it got pretty bad. And, you know, my depression really controlled a lot of my actions and it just caused me so much misery. It got to the point where, you know, I just became very sick, very unhealthy, was abusing my body with drugs and was really, you know, just in the worst place I could have even imagined. And after really hitting that rock bottom, I felt like it was time for me to, you know, just shift my life into the person that I know I could be, you know, into someone who wasn't always just miserable and kind of mean, but someone who was kind and helpful to other people. Mm-hmm. And I took that time. I took about a year to really try to just stabilize my health. You know, I started eating better, started eating high nutritional foods. And then about a year later, I did my first Vipassana meditation course. Vipassana as taught by S.N. Goenka, and that was July of 2012. Mm-hmm. And it's 10 days silent courses, and it just radically transformed my life. It really showed me the inner dynamics of liberation.
Was Vipassana the first experience you had of, I guess, that meditative practice?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think one time I meditated for like 20 minutes, but I had no idea what I was doing and didn't really feel any serious effects. So in terms of actually learning a real technique that's been around for thousands of years, for sure, Vipassana was definitely my first real introduction. And And I didn't do much looking after that. It really just made my hands so full, and I was getting such significant results that I just knew I had to do more of it. And after I did my first one, July 2012, and I signed up for my second silent 10-day course in September, 2 months later, and just kept on from there.
Yeah, that's amazing. And for those people listening, some of them might be thinking, okay, well, I've tried meditation and I can't do it, or it's not for me. What would you say to someone that feels that way?
I think it's important to know. So like for me, the 10-day meditation courses, even though especially the first one was very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. There were definitely times that I wanted to leave. But luckily I was able, I stayed and I finished the course, and I saw how important it was to, sort of put myself through this challenge that wasn't too overwhelming, but it was, a challenge enough where I really grew in my strength and was able to let go a lot of these mental burdens that were limiting my happiness. But it's important for people to know that there's a lot of different meditation styles out there. So if Vipassana is something that's, in someone's mind, like being silent or being away from the world for 10 days seems like too much, well, there's tons of things out there, even lighter forms of Vipassana that aren't in the Goenka tradition, but there's tons of like Tibetan Buddhism, Kundalini yoga, you can just go on and on. There's so many different styles. So I always encourage people that there's definitely something out there for you, even if it's 5 minutes, 20 minutes, or, just a weekend retreat, or wherever you are, there's definitely something that can meet you. And it's more so a matter of you personally just having that courage and honesty to go out there and find something that will suit you.
Beautiful. Now, you have such beautiful words, or you bring through your Instagram page such beautiful quotes and thoughts and ideas for your audience. Why is it, how did you come upon writing?
It was an interesting journey because I never really thought of myself as a writer. I never had these plans for myself. I had always thought that I would continue just focusing on organizing people, being a part of social movements, and trying to help the world in that manner. And I think that's definitely something that I'll still go back into, but I wanted to take time aside when I realized that I was more so understanding the internal dynamics of liberation and seeing how there was a lot of this inner work that no one else could do for me. Mm-hmm. And I really had to do it myself. And then having the Vipassana tool and actually seeing that a lot of this heaviness out of me was actually being relieved, I started seeing that, I knew that I knew nothing. Like, I knew that I was still just starting off. And but I wanted to at least help people understand that, real healing is possible. Mm-hmm. Because I was so shocked myself. We grew up, especially in the Western world, we're really sort of indoctrinated with the idea that, once you have some sort of ailment, you have it for life. And I never really understood that, I could actually be relieved of so much depression. And it's not to say that I'm like perfectly healed or enlightened or anything like that, but I know for myself in my daily life that I still feel sadness, I still feel anxiety, I still feel sort of these heavy things, but nowhere near to the same intensity as before. Mm-hmm. And I just knew that, one, that people should know that healing is possible, and two, let me just sort of intellectualize some of my experiences. Even though, I don't consider myself a teacher, I'm definitely just a writer. Like, I don't teach meditation or anything like that. I really like focusing on just being a student, but it just helps to, see what I'm understanding and share with others in the hopes that, it may inspire them to help heal themselves.
Is the process of writing a bit like meditation for you as well? Like, how do you experience it? Because I know different writers, they write in different ways and the experience is very different. What's it like for you?
It's really different. It changes all the time. I mean, I try not to... when I'm meditating, it's time for meditation. And when I'm writing, it's a different time. I try to separate the two, but they obviously support each other, especially, meditation supporting my writing. Because what I understand from meditating is just that we're relieving a lot of this mental tension that really blocks our clarity. So, the more that I meditate, the more that I can understand myself more clearly, which helps me understand the world more clearly. But sometimes these things just like come like a bolt of lightning. Like, I'll just they'll be complete and they'll, you know, it'll be like a whole little poem. And but other times I'll sort of have to work at it and try to ask myself questions like, you know, what is it that I'm understanding lately? Like, what are the lessons that I'm learning? And try to put words to these experiences. But it's really changed over time. So I really, these days, I try to just not add too much pressure to it, if you get what I mean. Like, I don't want to sort of create too much tension, like, oh, I have to make something amazing right now and, like, force myself. Like, I try to make myself be really okay with, you know, oh, I haven't written anything new for, like, 3-4 days, maybe a week. That's totally fine, you know? And, but then also staying open to the times where, you know, you feel that sort of creativity bubbling up and just trying to, you know, catch what's coming in my direction, basically.
Yeah, of course. I like that that's your process and that you don't necessarily sit there and force it and have a rigid schedule as to, you know, when you're going to write these things. And I think that's why, you know, in my experience, there's so many people that are putting up quotes and things, especially on Instagram. And I think the ones for me that stand out are the ones that you can feel the intention or the space that the person is writing from. And I think, you know, in you sharing that process that you don't have that rigid schedule, that's evident, because I know that I feel very moved or connected, or you make me think with certain things that you put out there as well. And I think that comes down to, you know, it's you're being moved and allowing the words come through you rather than being the one that's going to control them.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I feel like, you know, I do feel that sort of pressure to like write more new things, but I've already seen the results, you know. Like if I feel too tense around creating something new and then I like put it up, it just doesn't quite make as much sense, or, you know, people won't really find it as useful as the times when I'm actually calm and, you know, allow the things to come. So thank you for that feedback. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure. I'm also curious about, I mean, obviously you started writing for yourself and then obviously your writing has grown and it's impacted a whole bunch of different people. What have you experienced from your community that read it? Like, what's one thing that you've noticed in comments or the feedback, or is there anything in particular?
I always feel pretty lucky. I feel like the people who are attracted to the things that I'm writing are already inclined towards being very kind. Mm-hmm. You know, people are just, you know, really kind. They let me know if things are really helping them, and, you know, they'll ask questions and I'll try to answer some. It's gotten to the point where, you know, there are so many comments coming that I can't quite answer all of them, which I kind of have a hard time with. I feel like in some ways I feel like I should, but I also have to respect my own personal mental health and not, you know, try to do everything and then I won't be able to do anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, people are generally just very kind, and you can tell, you know, when people let you know that, you know, oh, I haven't thought about it that way, or I've been feeling that, but I haven't described, you know, I haven't been able to describe that, but it's been quite awesome just seeing how it's really transformed over time, and it's, in a way it feels like, you know, especially reading back to the beginning and to what the things we're writing now, it's just like we're all going deeper together, and that's really awesome. It gives me a lot of hope for the future.
It is. It's so cool. I love how we can impact so many people through social media. I think that is one beautiful aspect of social media. We have that power to connect with other people who otherwise, prior to its time, might have felt very alone and felt very like they were traveling this journey by themselves and didn't know how to navigate certain things. And I think in a way it's connected us more and enabled us to experience more of these wonderful, you know, insights from various different people.
It's really beautiful. I'm sorry to chime in, but I was thinking, you're making me think about how, you know, social media has really allowed us to have a conversation, has allowed the world to have a conversation with itself. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool watching everyone sort of think together. You know, I've noticed a few years ago when self-love sort of just like came onto the scene in a very big way. And everyone's like, you know, delving into self-love, seeing what it means for them and, you know, using it in their lives in different ways. And we're all like picking at this word and sort of trying to figure out what it really means. And now I see a lot of people talking about letting go, and doing the same thing with it. And, you know, it's funny seeing, like, humanity collectively hold these themes and seeing how they can use them to improve their lives. It's really awesome.
Yeah, it's so awesome. And the other thing I've noticed is how when we put up something and it resonates with quite a few people, it's funny how open people are in their comments too. You know, they really, some people share so much of their story that, and they'll tell you what they're going through. And I think that's quite profound. You know, here are these two strangers who don't know each other, but have been moved by this one piece of, you know, writing, and you know, they're just sharing their experience, which in turn someone else reads that as well, and they might go, oh, that's how I feel too. And yeah, it's quite, it's a bit of a domino effect, I think.
Definitely. It's really quite marvelous.
Now, you have a book, Inward, and it's a collection of poetry, quotes, and prose that explores the movement from self-love to unconditional love, the power of letting go, and the wisdom that comes when we truly try to know ourselves. What was the journey like for you putting this book together?
Oh, it was amazing. I feel like Inward would not have been possible if I was not able to give myself the slight push I needed to continue growing. You know, and it was funny how more and more of Inward would fall together, would come to fall into place as I would make these like big leaps forward in my own growth. I remember like Inward became a real possibility when I actually started meditating on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And even later on, you know, as I got more sort of, when I really started using that energy of self-love to really do the things I needed to do to be free, you know, and sometimes those are hard things, you know, like, I stopped drinking alcohol. I stopped smoking marijuana. And then, you know, I would watch as there's even more clarity in my mind, more, you know, more sort of not only peace within myself, but, this ability to really sort of, just understand myself much better and be able to produce this book. So it's been really cool sort of going through these like personal thresholds and, you know, not only cultivating my inner peace, my personal, you know, moving on my personal journey, but just seeing Inward sort of fall into place through that personal growth. So that was really cool seeing that happen parallel to each other. And it was, you know, a real process. I mean, Inward's a very light book. It's a little over 200 pages, but it's it has weight in the fact that when you open it up, the things that you will read will, you know, they could be things that you could think about all day. So I wanted to make something that was really useful to people, but sort of trying to decide what actually fit into the book, giving the book a good flow and really, you know, examining what would be useful to people and what were really the best pieces that I've written over the past like 3 years. It was definitely a serious process. And there were a few delays. You know, I remember I initially wanted to release the book back at the end of 2016, and it just wasn't coming together. And it was, it really, in particular, took my patience to a whole nother level. So it was quite the journey. And I'm so glad to see it out there now, you know, getting stories from different people about how it's serving them well. It's pretty, pretty miraculous seeing that, you know, this was an idea and now it's a reality.
Yeah, that is so cool when you see something that you've poured your heart into come to fruition, and especially when it's in book form. Like, I was a former magazine editor, and I know that whenever I got the new issue, it was such a beautiful moment, you know, seeing those concepts and all these people that work together to make this little book come together and then holding it in your hands. So I imagine that's also how you felt in this experience.
Yeah, especially after the first like 2 months, I was pretty in awe that I was like, oh, I'm holding a book that, you know, I guess that I wrote. Pretty fun.
That's cool. And was there anything in particular that you learned about yourself through this process?
I learned that I just have so many patterns of stress inside of me that are just totally unnecessary, you know, that actually make the work more difficult. Mm-hmm. So I really got to see a lot of sort of this anxiety and stress that would just come up around, you know, literally creating the book that would slow the process down. So I'm really trying to understand, you know, having a sense of structure in the day, not in terms of like when I would write, but really like, you know, being really serious about meditating every morning, every evening, and just like continuing that and seeing how this sort of my personal daily meditation format would just support the work that I was putting out there. But it was interesting, you know, just seeing how just learning how much is actually bundled up inside of the human mind. And it's just like, it's asking to be released. I really got to see, you know, so many different facets of myself that I was like, wow, you know, I have a lot more learning to do, and I have a lot more walking to do on this path of liberation.
And for our listeners who might be yearning to know themselves more deeply, what would you suggest is a good place to begin?
I think the two most important things are honesty and courage. I think that's where I really began, was like, I was really, really turned that lens inward and just started being honest with myself. And I knew, I was like, okay, well, you're sick. You know, you need to eat healthier. You need to start exercising. And that was, you know, obviously personal for me, but just using that honesty in whatever way is actually accurate for you, I think is really important. And then the other side of it is that once you start making those changes that you can make, you know, not focusing on changing everything at once, but actually just picking a few things, you know, focusing on developing a new positive habit that counters the old difficulties or the old negative habits, and sort of reinforcing these new habits that are actually supporting your freedom. Then after that, I think it's really, really important to find a technique, to find something that can really take you not just on the conscious level of the mind, but takes you into the subconscious. Because a lot of what we hold, a lot of our personal emotional history that really dictates our daily behavior, you know, the things that we've intensely felt in the past that inclines us towards behaving and acting in a certain way in the present and the future, it's all bundled up in the subconscious. So I think a lot of people, when they think of letting go and they think of healing themselves, it's a much more like imaginative process where we're seeing, you know, our old traumas happening, or sort of picking up these old memories and looking at them and trying to, you know, sort of distance ourselves from them. When in actuality, a lot of the healing happens in moments of real calmness, real concentration, when your being is actually very silent and a lot of these things are being let go of. So to get yourself into these states where you're really releasing a lot, it really is so helpful to, you know, have some sort of meditation, or, you know, even outside of that, you know, a serious practice of yoga, saunas, or, you know, there's mindfulness techniques, there's breath work, even different energy healing modalities like Reiki, biodynamic cranial sacral. There's tons of things out there that can help you. Even like, you know, a therapist who can give you techniques that you can do at home. There are just so many things that can take you a little deeper. So you want to sort of gauge where you are and how much you can handle, because it's important to challenge yourself but not overwhelm yourself. You know, that's where you really find your sweet spot. Mm. But within that sweet spot, you know, find a technique, because if you just continue thinking, you may just end up on the conscious level of your mind, where, you know, a lot of letting go actually happens through feeling and not thinking. And that's done through a technique or a practice.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I thought it would be interesting to know your perspective on this, but I also have known for myself in becoming aware of those things that, you know, don't support me, and, you know, through meditation and, you know, over time, when certain things unravel, or, you know, I work through them and they tend to disappear, life changes by itself. I think sometimes it can be confusing that we think we have to address all these different things and we have to change them, but it's like when we change our inner state, that then changes our outer state as well, and it doesn't necessarily require us to physically do something.
Yeah, and I think that changes, right? I think a lot of times, you know, we definitely attract things, but then in terms of like when you're thinking about society and, you know, thinking about the collective humanity, I think action is definitely involved. But on the individual level, it's pretty amazing. I totally agree with you. You know, life sort of falls into place and things get a lot smoother when when you're really focused on healing yourself. I think one of the questions that I get pretty often is like, you know, what should I do about X, Y, and Z, about this situation or that situation? And a lot of times, you know, the person who can give you that best answer is your own inner wisdom. Mm-hmm. But the issue is that people generally may not be able to access that inner wisdom because their minds are so tense. So instead of asking, you know, what should I do about this and that, it's better if you just focus on healing yourself, because then the answer will become very apparent.
Mm. Yeah, beautiful. Now, before we finish off our interview, I have a few signature questions that I'd like to ask you.
Cool.
So if you weren't in this particular career or doing what you do today, what would you like to attempt?
Oh, I think I would definitely be focused, like I was saying before, on just trying to create an international movement to really transform the world. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, global capitalism has its hold, and it's been sort of the economic situation of the day, but more and more people are talking about post-capitalism and just different things that we can do to actually support the environment, to support people as a whole, to sort of have a better distribution of wealth, and, you know, not necessarily talking about going into the past, but really going into the future and helping create something new. I think that's what really excites me the most, but that's one of the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing now. I feel like for us to really change the world in a way where we can all really be happy and free, it really requires for us to cultivate that happiness and freedom on the individual levels. You know, when we understand ourselves better, we understand the world better.
Yeah, awesome. I love that. Now, are you scared of anything?
I think, yeah, I have this fear around wasting my time. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, really personal. You know, like, I, you know, just, like, watching too much TV or, you know, not even on that mundane level, but it's, like, using my time really well and using my life really well, you know, really sort of at the end of my life feeling like, okay, you know, I did a good job and I didn't just like dilly-dally and take the easy way, but just did what I came here to do, you know, just work on my own freedom and support the freedom of everybody else. Mm-hmm. But I think I do like have this weird fear that I need to definitely work on and release, because it's not too healthy, but just, yeah, wanting to use my life as best as possible.
It's interesting because I can relate to that to some degree, where I know that as I'm getting older, I am more aware of time in that capacity, where I just think, you know, am I wasting my time? Am I doing the things that I really want to be doing? Because I think there comes a certain point, I know for me, it's like when I was 30 that I was like, okay, well, you know, we aren't around for forever. And to live that way, you know, I think it's easy to, like you said, just be involved in the day to day and kind of not necessarily be super conscious with our time and what we would really love to do. So I do relate to that, and I wonder if it's also like as we age we start to become more aware of that.
Definitely. Yeah. I think I just recently turned 30, and you know, just looking back on my life and being like, okay, you know, and I feel like especially in my early 20s, I was just kind of bouncing around and really didn't quite know what I really wanted to do. And I think that's totally okay. But now that I do feel a little more self-aware, I'm like, all right, well, I need to focus on my personal healing. So, you know, living time from day to day and also producing work has been quite interesting.
Mm. Okay, so my last question for you is, what do you believe your greatest strength is?
That's awesome. I think my greatest strength is a strong determination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really determined. I've had this weird theme that I've been seeing in my life from the time when I was young, where people were just, you know, telling me like, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, or that's not possible. And then, you know, I would just keep pushing, and then it would happen. You know, I remember when I was in the end of high school and I was applying to colleges, and I remember I was telling my guidance counselor that I wanted to apply, to this the school that I ended up going to, Wesleyan University, and she thought it was way too out of my reach. And she was like, no, don't waste your time. And I was like, wow, I was like, you're crazy. I was like, I'm totally going to get in. And I got in, you know, and from then on, just like, you know, I think even when I wanted to be a writer, a lot of people weren't very supportive at all. And were actually worried that, you know, instead I should get a 9-to-5 and I should, you know, be how everyone else was. But I was like, no, like, I have a feeling that this is going to work. And even if it doesn't, it's fine. Like, I don't have kids right now. You know, I can take this risk. And it's been interesting sort of just relying on really believing myself and being strongly determined to just make things possible.
Yeah, I think that's such an important thing to have, because even just the other day I had an experience myself which was similar, where someone said to me that something wasn't, they didn't say it wasn't possible, but from where I was, you know, it would be a bit of a leap. And this is someone that I kind of, you know, has been a bit of a mentor for me. And so I think it's even in those moments, you still have to go back to you and back to your own heart and back to your own feeling and go, no, what is it that I feel? Because no one can possibly know what you're feeling. You know, they kind of make decisions based on how they perceive you and where they've come from, and you know, whether they're right or wrong, like you said, like you may have succeeded or you may not have, but you took that leap anyway. You chose to follow that feeling that you had. And again, for me, I had a very similar experience. I took that leap and it worked out. But in you know, before that leap, sometimes it is challenging, especially when you have people around you that say no. So I think, yeah, it's important to just always come back to yourself, even if you look up to people. That was my experience, and yours as well too, in a similar way.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, it's fundamental, you know, not to listen to other people's fears and not to listen to other people's conditioning. You know, you really got to figure it out on your own. And especially when it comes to like healing yourself and towards, you know, meeting your personal aspirations. If we just allow other people to decide for us what we're capable of, then it's going to be a tough life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much for our conversation today. It was really enjoyable, and I'm stoked to be able to chat to you because I am a huge fan of your writing.
Ah, thanks so much. This was a blast. Thank you so much for reaching out too. And yeah, I hope we talk again.